As we continue our conversation on building a more sustainable future, it's important to understand the current landscape. A recent Swedish report paints a picture of declining productivity in the construction and civil engineering sectors since the late 1990s, pointing to inefficiencies in resource use and increasingly costly, lengthy infrastructure projects. The call for change is clear. But it's not always about using more resources, but about getting more bang for your buck. For example, by using innovative solutions, including digital technologies and artificial intelligence. This highlights the urgency and the potential for smart solutions, which is exactly what we'll be discussing with our guests today. Joining us today are two leading figures in the Nordic property sector, Daniel Sjöberg-Siraj, CEO of Åbos Group, and Christopher Harness, Chief Digital Officer and Director of Skanska Digital at Skanska Norway. A warm welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's start by looking at some of the areas where digital technologies are helping construction, development and property companies. I'd particularly like to hear about innovations that are working in the areas of efficiency and standards, improving safety and reducing both costs and carbon emissions. Starting with you, Daniel.
I think you can take technologies and our curiosity into two main areas. It's one area is the back office, is our planning processes. Where can we take inspiration and take learning and take new ideas from startups and partners like Skanska in the early development and planning phase and our back office function? That's one part of increasing our efficiency. And then there's the second phase, that's out on the construction sites and in the projects. How do we take new learning and new technologies into our construction sites and projects and actually see improvements in productivity, in sustainability, in making new great products for our customers? That's our main focus in our both in our curiosity towards the sector and in our investment portfolio.
Very interesting. Thank you. Christopher?
No, I think you touched upon one of the key aspects in the introduction there, and that is speed. Given that we are a contractor, speed is not necessarily what we're known for. The industry is not known for being an early adopter in technology as well. So partnering with the ecosystem to move according with the pace of technology development is crucial for us to move the needle forward. We need to have close partnership with our customers like Åbos. We need also have close partnerships with startups, which are challenging the status quo. And many may see as the construction industry as slow to adopt digital technologies based on culture and tradition and so forth. I think the truth is more related to the technology has not been mature enough for us to start deploying digital technologies at the tip of the spear. We have done a lot in the back office function, in the supporting functions, but now we see, particularly with the use of data, the use of artificial intelligence, we can start now directing our gaze towards the operational side of things, towards the actual construction, and start digitizing our processes, not replicating the paper-based processes of yesterday in a digital format.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting watching things picking up speed. I'd like to continue with that and ask you to elaborate, both of you, on why companies like Skanska and Åbos are partnering with and sometimes investing in these startups and scale-ups. Christopher?
Well, unfortunately, not all the smartest people in the room wants to work with us. Sometimes they start a company and they're onto something that's directly tied into our operation. Saying that we're not actively looking for, is there any good ideas out there? We are focusing on the problems at hand. What are the challenges that we need to solve in our core business? As the saying goes, love the problem, not the solution. Then we start looking. Can we procure a solution? Can we develop a solution? Or is there any companies out there which are building the solution for us? So we always start with the business problem, and then we start looking for what is the best possible solution. And sometimes the best possible solution is partnering with startups. Then you can have the same value creation. You can share the benefits and share the outcomes.
Hmm. Interesting. And Daniel, does that align with the way that you and Orbis?
I think Christopher points a very important thing. In order to start a corporation, it has to address a real problem. And sometimes we pose that question because we have identified the problem, but haven't really been able to allocate enough resources to address the problem, or it hasn't gone through the big bureaucracy. Skanska and Obos are both big companies. It hasn't been a focus. These companies come to us and ask us a question that we haven't really asked ourselves and say, okay, how does this really fit into our world? Maybe it's a question originally posed to a company outside our sector because people come from other industries. How is this relevant for us? And is this really a big problem for us? And if we can align those problem descriptions and try to find a common way ahead to work with that, then we have a start for a fruitful cooperation, whether it's working with our businesses outside of an investment scope or working with us within an investment scope. So that's been a huge part of our success in working with startups, identifying really real problems and then finding a way forward.
I just want to add in, and also it's important to note that as a contractor, we never work alone. There's always an ecosystem that we work with. And a lot of the challenges that we face that we need to overcome to create a more sustainable industry, to create higher degree of operational efficiency, that's an industry-wide type of problem. So for us to develop something for ourselves and use it only for ourselves, that's not the correct medicine. We need something that becomes the industry standard. And this is where startups can play a crucial role for us to then help develop a solution that all our subcontractors can use, that can also be useful for our clients, the developers, can also be useful for the engineering companies. So it becomes more than just a Skanska solution. It becomes an industry solution that we all benefit from.
And it's also about also have the insight of saying that maybe this is not big enough a problem for us, but maybe point the direction to somebody else, because we have several examples of where we have been, the people have put forward an idea to us and we have taken it through our organization and they say we have another solution. It doesn't have to say that the original idea put forward to us was a bad idea, but it wasn't a good idea for us. We weren't an ideal partner. So we have to be open about and be very open in our discussion with startups and people with ideas that this is a great idea, but work with somebody who's more motivated to taking on instead of working with us and just being half interested in your idea. It will kill the idea and we'll be a bad partner for you. And being that transparent instead of always just looking for what's the best for us is very important.
Oh, sounds very important. I'd like to look at some more specifics about what sort of areas that we're looking for with these startup collaborations. We've talked about making sure that they're a strategic fit, and we talked earlier about some areas where you could see these sort of things bringing value. But can we look at some of the specific sectors, if you like?
We have had a quite broad spectrum of businesses that we looked into. We started very early with solar energy. Otovo, which is now a listed company, was a quite early phase. It was on the renewable energy and it was connected to how could we adapt, and they quickly changed. So they pivoted away from our multifamily housing units and then started single family housing. So, but that was part of our, we were involved in residential management through Hybel, which is a rental provider for smaller units. We came in very, very, very early being curious around that. We've been working with digital locks for multifamily homes that we addressed as a huge problem that the big players in the market hadn't really addressed. We looked into residential development like AI, now 7 Analytics, which is a company who works with water and climate adaptation. We worked with noise cancelling earphones, and so we have a quite broad spectrum of problems to address, and not primarily focus on sustainability, but trying to address the needs of our different business units.
Christopher, what sort of areas is Skanska looking for in this area?
No, we're a bit narrower. We follow our core KPIs when we look for these things. It's operational efficiency. It is reduced emissions and site safety and quality. That's the basic areas that we look for. And of course, that focuses our way of evaluating these companies. But of course, the things that Daniel also mentioned, like the team, I have to pick that up again, because that's one of those early steps in our evaluation process. Do we believe in the team? Do we believe in the people? Do we want to work alongside these people in the long run? I think that's extremely important and cannot be stated clearly enough.
Yeah, that need for long-term confidence in your partners. Can we look at how do you measure success?
We are working with a company called Augment City at the moment. They've had a huge success doing simulation offshore in Ålesund in Norway, where they've done offshore simulation in a great digital dome, where they can actually analyze and do simulation on offshore installations. And they've been working with cities, taking that technology over to the urban development side, how you can simulate cities, emissions, transportation, and they came to us and wanted to involve us in building a digital twin, establishing a similar kind of dome for a city. And we're working on that project now. And what one of the things we have done, we've invested, been discussing with them, but also opening doors and then leave the door open for them to run with the new partners that they need to have. Because we said very early on, okay, this is interesting for us, but we can't do this alone. This model won't work if OBOS is the only user of this, and we have to look with big private customers into this. They have to find this idea interesting. And then we leave them to actually convince the customers themselves that this is a great idea, and then go and search for self-funding and for this idea. And this is how we like to work. So, and I think that it's... I'm looking forward to the result of that project, because this has a huge potential of having global reach in their way of working.
You mentioned at one stage, Daniel, that your main focus isn't so much in the sustainability area, but obviously that plays a role. I'd like to hear some examples from both of you about how some of these technologies can help. Christopher, you mentioned about reducing carbon emissions and so on, about how these technologies can help your companies and your customers to achieve targets within sustainability and particularly climate.
I think, like I said, we work with a company called Seven Analytics. They're working with climate adaptation. There's so much heavy rains and flooding, and they built a flooding cube that they're digitalizing and try to simulate how water, the tides, and how things will be in 5 and 10 years' time. And we've used them in project, but where we actually could take their product from. During a week, we could simulate and set up and go to the government and say, your plan is not good, because if you do this plan as you want it to be, your kindergarten will be underwater if the water levels rise as expected in 15 or 20 years' time. So you have to change your plan. And we could actually use that to in our concrete project. In the old times, we would have ended up in an endless discussion with the municipality. In this case, we could visualize within a short time frame. So this is how, because this is a very important part of us. We're building along fjords and harbors and along rivers, and we have to actually have very good control of how we meet that challenge, how we build and how we take care of nature in the future. And now this product is very very interesting for the insurance industry, because they have to simulate this in order to actually have good risk management of their products and how they meet new customers. So I think that's one very concrete sustainability-linked investment.
The climate resilience is becoming more and more important, and as you say, also with the insurance side of things. Christopher, could we talk a little bit about where you're seeing the benefits on the climate and sustainability side.
Yeah, I think if you look at the similarities, it's all about the use of data and making fact-based decisions, and also being able to extrapolate what might happen going forward. The 7Analytics case is a very good example. They were a familiar case. We passed on that investment, unfortunately. I think it's a good investment, but we do also things within. The civil side, using data from excavators and the tip trucks to make sure that we have more sustainable operations. Because if you look at things, the majority of the time these machines are on site, they're standing still. And the majority of the time they're standing still, they're also idling. How do we solve for that problem? You can do it by gut feel, but you're at risk of then making assumptions that create even worse of a problem. So being able to collect the data to make sure that we do the right choices to eliminate not necessarily all the necessary idling, even though necessary idling is perhaps a saying that doesn't sound right, but the engine needs to be turned on when you're being loaded onto, but the unnecessary idling, the waiting times, and perhaps when we look at the data, we find other sinners that create unnecessary emissions. When we are digging construction roads, which are the temporary roads, we might not pay as much attention to the inclination. So when the roads are too steep, we spend more fuel than we have to. So if we then flatten out the curve on the roads, we reduce our emissions. By collecting the data through one of our investments, which is for OBOS, is also co-invested in DTO, then we can take fact-based decisions and actually move the needle towards more sustainable operations. And the use of data, that is the key when it comes to combining the green and the digital twin transition.
I hear so much that organized data is so important. We've talked about several of the success factors that you've identified in these sorts of collaborations, but it's not always plain sailing. What are some of the pitfalls?
I think one of the pitfalls is not identifying early enough if this is scalable enough, the product, and if you're the right partner. Because there's a lot of good idea that doesn't really have the capacity of scaling, and at least not scaling with us as a partner, and also being a very good owner and a good strategic listener. When you meet startups, they are great teams. They are very strong in their perception, but at times that strength can also be their weakness. So because they're very ambitious about growth, and at times, and I think we see that change now. A few years back, growth was the name of the game. Now a lot of the startups are much more focused on profitability in an earlier phase than we were just 2 or 3 years ago. So being able to communicate that very clearly, that step down your growth ambitions and align. If you don't have aligned ambitions at an early phase, it will end up badly for both of you.
Very interesting. Thank you. Christopher?
If I were to give two advices, first and foremost, dare to say no. There's so many corporates that are keeping startups in this kind of lukewarm state that we might collaborate. If it starts to look like it's a no, just say no. Get it over with. Dare to say no. Second of all, if we go in the entire way into the investment, investing in a company, that's the easiest thing possible, because you give somebody money. Everybody can give money. Owning a company, that's the hard part. And a lot of companies are over-focusing on the due diligence and the investment and all the things around the transaction, and under-focusing on the corporate governance, on owning a company and being a good owner. So say no if it seems like a no, and focus on being a good owner. Those are the two most important. On the pitfall side, maybe that's a pitfall. And just thinking that this will work out by itself and not being an active owner, those are two really, really big pitfalls.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time today. It's really interesting to hear how things are picking up speed, and how you're both playing a very important role in doing this. Thanks again, and thank you both for being part of Shaping Sustainable Places.
Great. Good luck with your work. Bye.
In this episode, we heard Daniel Sjöberg-Siraj from Obos Group and Christopher Harness from Skanska Norway talk about the collaboration between established Nordic property sector players and startups. They discussed how AI and digitalization are driving innovation in the construction and property industries, emphasizing the need for speed and addressing real business problems. The challenges and pitfalls we discussed included the need for alignment in goals and culture, the importance of being transparent and saying no when you need to, and the shift in startup focus towards profitability. Ultimately, this conversation underscores the crucial role of partnerships in driving innovation and creating a more sustainable and efficient future in both construction and real estate. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe and follow us on your favorite podcast platform so that you always get the latest episode. And let us know what you think. You can either reach us through Skanska's account on LinkedIn or by mailing to podcast@skanska.com. I'm John Ambrose, and this is Shaping Sustainable Places.